Today on the Hoban Minute series on legitimizing cannabis, I'm sitting here with Chief Operating Officer of Gateway Proven Strategies, CC Zach. And CC, I would like to talk to you for a few moments about these recent studies on COVID using cannabis. Tell us your impressions, your thoughts, your understanding of the results that we're seeing.
Well, Eric, thanks for asking. And it's really exciting to see that people are taking interest in using cannabis to evaluate the potential scientific benefits for a pandemic like COVID. I do want to just preface this by saying that we need to leave the science in the hands of the scientists. What my biggest fear is when I saw the New York Post come out with an article last week is that everyone's going to go out to their closest dispensary and buy whatever form that they like to use, or have made, for those that haven't even tried it, whatever form they like to use to think that they could ward off COVID. And that's just not the case. What I have read is that there's some opportunity for cannabis to reduce the inflammation that we're seeing that the virus is producing within the lungs. But it needs to be left in the lab. My understanding is right now, there's a Forbes article, I believe, that came out yesterday, is that the Israelis are really taking a very strong look at how the plant can help. But since it is still illegal in the United States, I don't think that I've read that there's anyone in the US that is really looking at this. So I think that there's an opportunity to get the right information out through the right vehicles so that people don't look at this in the same manner that people looked at President Trump talking about using antifreeze to prevent COVID as well. So that's my quick impression of what I'm seeing over the last week or so.
Right. And I would raise another point, which is just in the same way that people might run out to the dispensary or go and buy some CBD, brands also might see something like that and try to hop on that opportunity. We've already seen all of these FDA letters just in the wake of COVID with brands claiming, hey, this helps address COVID. Now they might be thinking, hey, we were right. We were reprimanded wrongly by the FDA for saying this. So it is, to your point, leave this in the hands of scientists. You say that the Israelis are leading the research on this, but hasn't that been the case here for a little while? They seem to always be at the forefront of doing the medical or pharmaceutical research, if you will, in this lane. But talk a little bit about how this informs the different ways that you treat cannabis from a policy perspective, perhaps, that there is a line in the sand between over-the-counter marijuana and pharmaceutical or medical grade. And this is something you know well, coming from your background, that the medicines I can go and buy at the shelves on Walgreens are different than what I have to get from the pharmacy. So maybe speak a little bit to that point as it relates to cannabis and where we're going.
Yeah, and Eric, it's such a great point that you're bringing up, that we are blessed in this country to have some states that have legalized cannabis for medicinal purposes, and we have clinicians that have been educated, not a lot, but we have doctors that have been educated in how to use the plant in a wide variety of different administration routes to help ease the burden of illness with patients. The challenge we have with big diseases such as a pandemic, a global pandemic, is that the data really needs to support the benefits, the outcomes, because the biggest fear in all of this is safety. And so you talked about the Israelis. You know, it's my understanding that the Israelis are leading the charge because it's legal for them to do it in a way that can bring out some real data that makes a difference and not such a hogtied way. And what I mean by that, as I look at the only product that's been approved here in the United States is by GW Pharma, Epidiolex. And it's my understanding, based on the data that's out there, it costs $2.8 billion in probably 8 to 10 years for that product to come to market. Obviously for epilepsy, which is just, you know, a horrific disease, and I'm so happy it came out. But we've got to find a way to bring that science faster, because I think all of us believe that cannabis can and will help health and wellness and diseases in ways we just have no idea. But if everyone has to look at spending $2.6 billion and conduct clinical trials in the same manner that any new molecule comes to the market, then we really need to rethink this, because I believe with all the data that's out there that we can shorten the time frames of how we look at how this plant treats things and make it much faster. So I think I touched upon a few of those questions that you had, but we really need that scientific backbone to come in here and really help educate us on how we can use the data that's already out there in an expedited fashion to potentially help in pandemics such as COVID right now.
Well, and one of my favorite quotes, and I think it's been said, I'm sure, by others as it relates to COVID, is necessity is the mother of invention. And so, like a lot of things that maybe would have taken longer to develop had this pandemic not come, now we've been the flame has been put to the pan, or whatever the analogy you want to use, that things have been sped up. And perhaps what we are seeing is, even, you know, on the theme of legitimizing cannabis, Forbes, the New York Post, to put out an article that highlights the research that's being done here and that there are favorable results, that does seem like a good indicator that the tide is turning, and perhaps necessity is the mother of invention. If these results keep coming back as favorable, heck, that might even speed up some of the things on the regulatory or policy side of things here in the U.S. As you mentioned, we are lagging behind where they are in other countries where it's legal and they can play with these chemicals in a way that we can't. Of course, it's frustrating for a lot of us because hemp is legal and these cannabinoids from hemp are legal. And yet, here we are hogtied, as you said, just waiting for those guidelines for what that'll look like. But I don't know.
I love seeing your passion, Eric, and it's great to be able to look each other in the eye while we're talking. But this is the time when big enterprise should be stepping up, and they should be putting the money into the research to help find novel ways to help in humanitarian efforts, because the vision and mission, quite frankly, the ambition of big pharmaceutical enterprises is to make a better life, to create healthy outcomes, to cure diseases, which clearly a pandemic is at. And so I just hope that big pharma enterprises like where I've come from have been really looking at cannabis in a way that they never did before, because I know they're doing it in diagnostics. You've got big companies out there that are testing the waters and really moving fast on diagnostic testing. They're doing it for cures. And we do have, one company that I know of in the West Coast that has been giving away drug to they've seen that it works with patients that have COVID. I just really hope that we see a big enterprise step up and say, all right, cannabis, let's wipe away the stigma and let's just figure out how it can help in this pandemic and allow all of us to take our face masks off and see people smile again.
Absolutely. It really is nice to be sitting here with you, Cece, and to be in person. And I don't know. I guess my feeling is to talk to the stigma for a moment, because we just talked to Jonathan and this came up there as well. But if something works, if something is found to be effective in the cannabis plant, even if it's THC, why? Why does the stigma have to get in the way? And isn't that, on this theme of legitimizing cannabis, that's where I think we are. I think we are just right at the verge of, we've had the stigma, and now, as you said, it's in the hands of the researchers and the doctors and the medical professionals and the pharmaceutical industry to get in there, look at these molecules, and find out, put the argument to rest that there are effective chemicals in there that we've never tapped into. And if they are proven to be effective, then yes, they should absolutely be a part of our drug system, our medical system, whatever it is. We're just right there on the edge. And sometimes it's frustrating. And then on the other hand, it's very exciting. It's just a balance of the two, I guess.
It is. And I think the thing that frustrates me is around the IP. And I think that is where we probably won't see big enterprise dumping a lot of money in here unless they truly understand the way to protect any of their investments as it relates to the science. And then the second component of that is the policy. And you have a lot of companies, and you know, just look at the U.S.-based pharmaceutical companies that are really hesitant on looking at things differently than the traditional FDA, you know, four phases of a clinical trial and $2.6 billion. Whereas if these companies could just step up to the plate and show the value proposition because they've taken the leap and invested in the science, and then bring it to the FDA and say, all right, you don't need all these clinical trials for what it is that this plant can do. And by the way, we really need to reshape the policy because it's an old stogie's fogey. No, what's that saying? An old fogey stogie. We really need to change, you know, people's thoughts around this. And it's going to take big enterprise to jump in and demonstrate that value proposition. And I really hope COVID is that big catalyst.
Well, and I know if any of the Hoban Law Group intellectual property attorneys were on right now, they would be saying adamantly and resoundingly, you can get intellectual property for these formulations, even here in the U.S. where things are gray. And this is the time for these actors, as you're saying, to step in. There is a path here to go to market, to get the IP necessary to protect yourself. What are you waiting for?
I don't know, Eric. I need to go back to my old haunts and knock on the door and have someone say or tell someone that this is just an avenue. It's too good. The science is too good. And we've got to take the stigma away and relook at this because my intuition, I am no scientist, but I really do believe that cannabis will have an effect on COVID in some way, shape, or form. I don't know what it's going to play out. And I... believe me, it's not a treatment. Do not take my words as a treatment. But I have an intuition that this will be a catalyst to help move this industry forward faster.
I absolutely believe you. And old fogey stogie.
Yeah, that was it. Sorry.
This has been great. Thank you for your thoughts on this, CC. And we'll watch this closely as it develops.
Till next time, Eric.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.